Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and it's less than a week to go now until Christmas. Dan, you're not usually a very organized man. Have you got all your presents?
Honestly, no. I've literally got a matter of days, and I'm still trying to figure out what to do. Last minute planning, as always, this time of year for me.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. For this week's episode, which is going to be our final one for 2021, and I'm looking forward to it a lot, we are talking to the director of swimming at a school that is very much on the rise right now, and that is Mount Kelly. So at the recent Swim England Winter Nationals, they secured a school record 23 medals and have qualified for the Arena League A final after beating a host of top quality teams in round three, including Millfield. Dan, this should be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Before we get into it, though, I'd like to say a massive congratulations to everyone who swam at Winter Nationals. We kept track of all the results. We shared them on our Instagram stories, and there were some outstanding swims to end the year, especially with the rough 24 months that we've had as well. Mm. British swimming really is in a good place, and both in senior and in age groups. And it's very exciting to be a part of right now. It really is.
Yes. Yes, definitely. So like we mentioned on our talk with Josh Atkins a few weeks ago, we really want to start diving into the club swimming scene and the grassroots on this podcast over the next few months. And we can't wait to learn a little bit more about Mount Kelly. So please welcome the 2020 UK Coaching Talent Development Coach of the Year and Director of Swimming at Mount Kelly, Emma Collins Barnes. Emma, thank you so much for coming on to the show this week. How are you? What's been on the agenda today?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me on. Well, for me, I'm currently still on maternity leave, so my day has been, nappies, sick, the usual stuff. So not very glamorous, I'm afraid.
Oh, that's all right. My partner works in the nursery, so I hear all the stories.
Yeah. It's very different to some coach life.
Just a little bit. So for this week's episode, we're going to touch a little bit upon the amazing results at Winter Nationals, the setup at Mount Kelly, because it's a little bit different from your usual club scene, and your coaching philosophies and journey as well. So you weren't able to be at Winter Nationals due to being on maternity leave, like you just said, but I'm sure you're proud of all of the images that were shared on social media from the weekend. It looks like the squad has a real togetherness. How proud were you of the performance, not just in the pool, but out of the pool as well? I'm talking about all of those cheering images that I saw all over the place on social media.
They're a loud bunch and they want to be. our development, we can talk a little bit more about this, sort of later on. But this hasn't just happened overnight. This has been a long 10 years of slow build, really establishing what it means to be a Mount Kelly swimmer, and every time you step up onto that block, you're not swimming for yourself, you're swimming for other people. And I think, it was quite nice for me to actually not be there, because I got to see it, over the live stream, as much as that was a challenge, having a couple of different screens going on and trying to make sure you're doing track with everything. It gave me an idea of how they're coming across, because that's really important as well. We live it every single day. We know what we stand for, but it's important that that's also portrayed in the right way to everybody else. And I think they did an outstanding job. It was just so lovely to hear that every swimmer, irrespective of whether they're in a final or a heat or whatever, had that support behind them. So I was very proud of them.
Did you miss the feeling of being on poolside and supporting the team?
Oh yes, especially on that particular meet. Yeah, I got the itch for sure. But the coaches that were up there did an incredible job with those guys, and I'm very proud of all of them.
Did it give you a chance to kind of step back a little bit, unlike any coach really ever has a chance to do, and reflect basically?
Absolutely.
Being at home, yeah.
look, I've my son came along in June, and that's as much as I've been busy with all of that. It's given me some really good time to sit back and have a little think. It's really important that, like I've mentioned before, this has been the success that we're seeing now has been built 5 or 6 years ago. That was where it started. Now we're here, it's important that we're looking at what's the next step. I'm currently rewriting our next 5-year plan. We've had, as many people have, as everyone has had 2 years of that stripped away from them. So, it's given me a bit of time to think, reflect, have a little look, listen to the coaches. We do a lot of that at Mount Kelly, and make sure that we're all listening to each other. Because, you've got 9 brains in the room, mine's not more important than anybody else's. So we talk quite a lot as a team, and we look at where we can go from now. And I think very much so that we're still sort of just scratching on the surface of what we can achieve.
Yeah, you said you were watching the live stream, and Bob Ballard was commentating on that. Was he saying the right things, or did you learn anything from him?
Because Bob's such a hero.
He's great on Eurosport, isn't he? He does a fantastic
he's brilliant.
Job.
Yeah, I've got a lot of time for Bob. He's one of my favourites. Yeah, absolutely. He does a cracking job at that. I even picked up on one of my tweets about one of the lads who promised me he'd go 159 in the heat of the 200 IM. So he's he's on it.
He likes the little details, doesn't he?
He does.
What was it like for the swimmers to be back racing at Ponds Forge after such a long time away from our national pool?
It was just pure joy for them. Absolutely, each and every one of them. The buzz that they had from it, it was almost a bit of a post-champs come down when they came back to school and we were chatting through the next phase, the next step, things that we're going forward to do. And they were a bit like, oh, I wish we were back in Sheffield. such a good time up there. And I think that was probably one of the main takeaways, again, sort of stepping outside of it and watching it from home, is that they just had a great time. And we've really missed that as a sport. We talk about grassroots sport. These kids are future, talent in this country. I've missed so much. And the fact that a lot of them have stuck it out and have, had their ups and downs and kept in there and had that reward, even though it was a small reward, they had that reward and it's given them the buzz. And so obviously there's no pool as iconic as Ponds Forge.
I'm trying to remember the last time there was any sort of racing at Ponds Forge. I still think Ponds Forge is one of the best pools I've ever raced in. And I've raced in quite a few pools.
Because it's in Yorkshire.
I don't know. I think it's just because I got most of my PBs there. That's kind of all.
It's a fast pool.
That was my thinking about it. It's quite a bit of a drive from Kelly, isn't it?
It's a tough one. Especially when you're on a coach, it's always a bit like, oh, here we go. But it's well worth it when you get there, and it's just got such a nice vibe. You walk through those doors, especially at the top. You walk through, open those doors, and it just hits you. So it's deep with history as well, which I love.
It is. So, like we said in the intro, 23 medals, a school record. What was the secret to such a successful meet? Was it that enjoyment? Was it the lack of racing for 2 years?
Yeah, I think it's probably a bit of a mixture of both. Obviously times were a little bit easier this year, which I think was the right thing to do. We've there's been so many kids that we've lost out sport because of COVID. They needed that reward. So I think that was a good start. So we had 80 kids in total gain a national qualifying time. Now, we've been nowhere near that in the past. So it was lovely to see the depth that we had and the depth that was there across the board with all the other clubs as well. So I think that contributed to it. But I keep mentioning, this has been a long time coming. We'll talk a little bit about it again maybe later, but one of our values is you've just got to enjoy yourself. And to be back in that environment having fun, with all your teammates behind you screaming, irrespective of whether you're on PB or not. It's just fun, isn't it? It's just a fun environment to be in.
Yeah. As a meet as early in the season, would I be right in saying that you didn't taper or rest in any way for the meet?
Outrageous. look, some of them did. Some of them did rest because they needed it. Like I said, we're close with some kids, so whether they want to do it or not anymore. They need a reward of some sort. And so being on form for this meet for some of them was, you know, whether it was the right, you know, touch or go, am I going to carry on or not? They needed that kind of buzz. So some of them, yeah. And we were led by the swimmers on that. You know, okay. what do you want from this meet? You know, what are your feelings and thoughts about it? You know, and if for them it was, I absolutely need to swim really fast here because I need that, then, you know, we help them out with that. Some of them, obviously, not so much. They just sort of swam through it and gave it a good crack. You know, luckily enough, some of them have had races, you know, like those that went to trials last year, etc. Some of them went on to international trips. Yeah. So, it was very personalised on what they wanted from that meet.
Oh, interesting.
I like it, given the self-responsibility to under 18s, aren't they? So that's a lot of responsibility on teenagers to pick what's right for them.
Yeah, it is. But that's an important part of swimming. It's self-awareness. You know, they're not always going to get it right. That's why they have coaches. But ultimately, it's their journey. It's not our journey. It's about them. And, you know, it could be that some of them decide that that's the last meet they'll ever do. Who knows, you know, who knows what's going to happen. And for them to have that meet as the most positive memory they'll have, hopefully they'll look back at it as a 25-year-old maybe and go, do you know what? That Nationals in 2020 was the best meet I've ever been to.
We've all got one, don't we? We've all got one. I can pick out my favourite ever meet straight away.
Go on then, tell us.
What was that?
Schools Gala. So Schools Nationals at Sheffield. The Schools National Relays. That was the most fun I've ever had.
That's it. Yep. And you'll never forget that. Yeah. And so we're making memories here.
I will point out we beat Kelly College to make the final, but we'll leave that there.
That was ages ago now. What was that? 10 years ago plus.
Yeah. Long time ago. So short course racing doesn't tend to get a lot of focus, but why is it important to still have this big short course meet within a season, within a calendar?
Do you know what short course season is we've just touched on it, is fun. It is a lot of fun, and it really does give you a good spark for the start of the year. For me, when I was swimming, it was the most important part of the year because I just loved it so much. Things get a little bit more serious in January, and you know, just having that really positive start to the season was always really it really motivated me. Some of our kids hate short course, so you know they might argue that it's not that important. I'd rather not do it. But for the majority, it just gives you a good indicator of how the first cycle's gone. And you know, with some of the kids, I'd like to say that if whatever you're hitting in December short course, I'd like to think by the end of the year you can hit that long course. So it just gives a little bit of profile around what maybe they can achieve in that year.
A lot of it is enjoyment, because I remember Speedo League or Arena League is what it's called now. So much fun. Again, sort of the same thing as what you're saying at the couple of weekends ago at the Winter Nationals, the cheering, the support, and you remember being on the bus on the way back getting your fish and chips. That's what we used to do. That was like the best bit about swimming. But I think short course is absolutely necessary, and of course it's including all the technical side, the turns, the starts,
it's
the underwater,
skill based, isn't it?
It's all skill based as well, so I think it's actually crucial. It is, yeah.
And you can swim quite well short course with just working on those skills. And a lot of the first half of the cycle for us is all skill based. It's all building that base. You know, let's develop this before we get to the long course season. And also, you know, you can highlight weaknesses quite easy short course. And it gives you a good idea of some of the changes you need to make. So, yeah, personally, I love a good short course season. And I think a couple of years ago, they did away with Winter Nationals and it was a dagger to the heart. So I'm so glad they brought it back. It's a really good fun meet.
Yeah, definitely. What are Mount Kelly's aims for the upcoming season then, after such a successful Winter Nationals? And how much of a role does qualifying for Arena League final have to play in that?
Well, Arena League is quite important. Come on, guys, we all know it.
Oh yeah.
I think it should be more important than most people think.
Than what it is.
I think more team swimming needs to take place.
Yeah.
Forgive me if you don't agree, but there are very few meets in this country that can create a championship environment.
Yeah.
Arena just happens. It just flows out of it and everybody's hyped. So, you know, all the parents are buzzed to be there. The kids are like, this is amazing. So it's it's an important one for the team. And swimming can be such a lonely sport, you know, ultimately it's just you and the lane and your preparation and what you've done to that point. But in that environment, it's not. You're swimming for someone else. You're swimming for your coaches, you're swimming for your teammates. It just brings a slightly different dynamic and it's good fun. So yeah, it does figure. Obviously I'm trying to think last time Arena League was on. We're current reigning champions, which was lovely, you know. And the year before that, we had a bit of disappointment with winning the regional, the regional rounds. And then off the virtual gala, things getting reversed with Millfield and we didn't make the A final. So, you know, last year's win for us was really quite nice. And we'd love to retain that title. But, you know, in terms of Arena League specifically, I just want those guys to just have fun and enjoy themselves. Yeah. But, you know, for the rest of the season, we just keep trying to better our own goals. We have certain benchmarks and certain targets that we set ourselves each year. And we just want to try and keep pushing them on. So, you know, hopefully we can provide a good amount of kids onto junior European trips. This year, you know, we've got some real good talent there, and that's one of our main aims, to be a good pathway for providing, you know, British swimming with good juniors. We really want to make sure that absolutely every kid in our program, irrespective of their standard, gets what they want personally. So, you know, if their goal is to smash up counties, we want to be able to support them and do that for them as well. Hopefully, touch wood, who knows, maybe get some international racing for those that maybe wouldn't normally get international racing. I think that's really nice. We were planning on going to Geneva in January. That's now not happening. So we'll try and find something later on in the year for those guys as well.
Are the aims more time-based or is it skill-based as well for each summer?
So what we do at the start of the year, we do what we call individual athlete plans. And these plans are led by our swimmers. So as much as it's a template, they write them and we facilitate that process. And we review them 3 times a year. And we provide them with a sort of traffic light system. So they may have X, Y, and Z written down and it might not necessarily be anything to do with time or skills. It might just be, I want to enjoy my swimming. And then we'll sit down together and we'll give them a red, an amber or a green to see where they're at. So they can visually see on a piece of paper where they're at, where we think they're at, where they are at in their own heads. And so individual journeys are really quite important to this. It's a really tricky thing to do. And we're quite big now. We've got 108 swimmers in the programme. But what I don't want to do at Kelly or, you know, Mount Kelly is lose that individual feel, because it's something that we've always done quite well, irrespective of goals or standards or, you know, any of those things. We were able to give them a sort of tailor-made programme, and that plays a really important part of that. So as much as there's a programme, we have our overarching goals. If, say, we meet none of them throughout the year, as long as those individuals, we break it down, those individuals got what they wanted out of the year, then I'm happy.
Okay.
I think that kind of flows really nicely into our next question, which is core values at the club. Do you have any particular values as a club as a whole, and then yourself as a coach?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've actually been at Kelly now for 10 years. It's coming up to 10 years in April. And I've had various different roles throughout the years. I actually only took over in 2017. And in that year, we had a lot of work to do. You know, there was some big holes, some big gaps. And one of those things was, what do we stand for? You know, no one could answer it. I went around and asked lots of people. Remember, we're not just a club, we're a school as well. And the other pillars within the school play a really important part of what we do, and they help us achieve what we do. And I went around and asked them as well, parents, tutors, matrons, you know, what do we stand for? And it was quite wishy-washy. So a lot of the work that we've been doing since then is around values and getting our culture right, you know. And it's been a wider thing than just the swimmers. So alongside the headmaster, Guy Ayling, we came up with the Mount Kelly values, and they are plastered all over the school. You know, and it's one thing coming up with these values and then putting it up around the school and then never actually doing any work on them. Mm-hmm. We try and make sure that we're doing it in absolutely everything we do. And, you know, our athletic development coach, Josh Norrie, is a big All Blacks fan. And, you know, one of the strap lines that he likes to use a lot is sweep the sheds. You know, it's down to little things like we really do hit home on making sure that if, you know, something as little as if you got a pull boy out, that pull boy is going back for the next person. And every single coach is on board with that. And that's around the whole school as well. So, you know, if there is a school rule or a school value, we will uphold that and remind them constantly. And it just creates this really nice spirit. They really understand then, you know, where we're coming from, where the teachers are coming from, you know, and the guy, it's more values than rules. You know, I don't necessarily think rules work. You know, we're not enforcing these things. We're just trying to educate people and above all, trying to make sure that we're playing a really important part in developing really decent human beings. You know, that's what we want. We want them to get to the end of 18 years old, whether they're setting the world on fire in the pool or not, and hold these values and have them quite close to their heart. And that's giving them skills for the rest of their lives as well. So that's been... it's been a real strong part of I think some of the successes we've had recently, and I think that came across at Winter Nationals as well. You know, making sure we were being respectful, even though we were being loud and those sort of things. So,
yeah, I agree. I think you've got to sing from the same hymn sheet, otherwise it all goes up in flames, doesn't it?
Self-discipline as well. I think that's the funny bit.
Yeah, we spoke to Josh Atkins, and the value of the club at Wickham is one team, and it goes back to the whole: is swimming a team based sport or is it an individual sport? And it is a team based sport. And I think once people and swimmers understand that, then I think that's where success comes from, and that's clearly what happened at Winter Nationals for you.
Yeah, I mean, we have. I suppose we're going to say we have a strapline. We have a strapline of the MK family. And one of those things is, it's, you know, once you've stepped through our door, it doesn't matter if, say, you started school and hated it and you were at school for one day, you're part of that Mount Kelly family, and that sort of family environment is really important in a boarding school. And those values remain with people forever. I actually bumped into one of my ex-swimmers yesterday. She's now 23 years old, and one of the first things she said to me was, "That was the best years of my life." And she, you know, she hashtagged it straight away and went hashtag Mount Kelly family. It's so silly, doesn't it? But it just, it really does just create such a great buzz. And we have that environment every single day at home. You know, we've just got training pools. We don't have competition pools. We don't hold competitions. So it's very rare that anyone really sees what we do on a daily basis. But most of our training sessions are quite like that. They're high octane. They're good fun. We don't take ourselves too seriously. And, you know, the other thing is all the coaches actually get on, which is really great.
It's helpful, isn't
definitely.
It?
Yeah. You keep mentioning it's a school as well as a swimming club. So what are the benefits when it comes to swimmers boarding at school?
I mean, I suppose it's important to say it's not for everyone. You know, and I think that's absolutely fine. You know, if anyone was ever interested, I'd say come and visit first, do a couple of taster days, because it just doesn't tick everyone's boxes sometimes. So it's not always the right thing. But for us as swimming coaches, it really does add lots of layers onto what we can do. So, you know, some of the challenges club coaches have is they don't know how their school day's gone. And you could have a kid that has really had a tough day. I don't know, a maths teacher's been on their case, they failed this test, I don't know, they've broken up with another half, all of these sort of things that affect teenagers in the pool. And usually we'll kind of know about it before they even walk through the door, which is great, because then we know as coaches to assess and go, right, do we need to push or do we need to back off? You know, what line do we need to take today? And again, it comes back to that treatment of individuals. You know, I've got some athletes that really just on that particular day have had a tough day, just don't want to speak to me. And that's fine. You know, that's absolutely fine. I think one thing that COVID's taught us is we can get a bit obsessive and a bit, overbearing, and we sometimes forget to give these kids a bit of a mental break. And by being in that environment, we kind of get that information quite quickly, which is great. And also there's the logistical things, which is, you know, most of the boarding houses are 30 seconds to the pool. So when you're getting up for morning training, you can push it. I mean, I have a 15 minute, absolutely. You need to be there 15 minutes before, but they can get there on time quite easily and still have good lighting in the morning, which is quite nice.
That's because that's the one thing I take advantage of, is roll out of bed and just rock up on poolside in maybe pajamas or whatever.
I mean, some of the bedhead in the morning and the attire they walk from boarding house to the pool in is quite interesting. But hey, Mount Kelly family, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As always, it's we're talking about communication, basically, aren't we? You've got an extra line of communication into the swimmers' lives that is helping you out as a coach.
Yeah. And we're very privileged in that respect. You know, we have an incredible team of tutors, matrons, nurses. You know, we have the catering company, the nutritionists, all of those guys. It really does help us. So we have lots of resources that we can call upon. So, you know, say if we did have some challenges around getting enough calories in an athlete or whatever, it's just a case of making a phone call, talking to the catering department and seeing what we can do to help. So, yeah, it's really great.
All the swimmers are 18 and under.
Yeah.
We've said that, haven't we? Yeah. So how they're all classed as juniors. So how do you prepare them for that step up to senior competition?
Yeah, I mean, it's... it depends on how they develop and how they mature. So, you know, we would like to get, you know, if we have kids join the school, we'd like to have them earlier rather than later. But we do have some athletes that come in for sixth form and so on. And it comes back down to that individual mindset. Some get it quite easily. So we give them more responsibility. We give, you know, as they get a little bit older, we have leadership teams. We have opportunities for them to lead us, you know, especially when they get to sort of 15, 16. We like to try and change the dynamic a little bit. Sort of, you know, the coaches and the parents are there to facilitate them, not the other way around. Some take it on really well. So they're ready. Some struggle a little bit. So we're just about providing that extra level of support. But you know, coming into a boarding house environment, you know, a lot of kids really do struggle with you know, not having mum and dad there. If they push through and they get to a point where they can cope with it, then it really does prepare them. So if they're going off to university programs, going abroad, going off to the US, they've already had that experience of being without mum and dad, you know, in that daily environment. They know that they need to prepare, you know, all their snacks, they get their drinks ready, do all of this, and they usually are quite self-sufficient athletes by the time they leave us.
Now you're in one of the most competitive regions in the country in terms of school swimming, with the likes of Millfield, Plymouth, they're right on your doorstep. Do you think having, I hate to say rival schools, but schools like that, do you think that's driven Mount Kelly to have sustained success?
Oh yeah, it has to be naturally. Yeah, I mean, I love it. I think it's great. It's, I mean, you can get really wrapped up into it. To be honest, it's actually really good fun. And I used to work at Millfield. I worked at Millfield for 5 years, so I have an experience at a couple of different schools in that environment. Mm. But Southwest is definitely the place to be. But it's great because each school does things differently, and that fascinates me because there's, you know, one of the things that I'm really interested in is there's never one way to do something, and you know it's about connection with that particular person and get the buy-in from that person for whether it really works for them or not. You know, if that athlete doesn't buy into your way of doing something, then it's probably not going to work out, even if it's still great. So yeah, it's competitive, that's for sure, but it's actually really enjoyable. It's a good environment to be in.
Mm-hmm. So what's your way of doing it? What's your coaching style? How would your swimmers describe you?
Ooh,
here we go.
Jesus. I mean, my coaching style has probably changed quite a lot. I mentioned that I joined Kelly just before the Olympics in London. And I would say back then, I probably thought I knew quite a lot. I thought I was, you know... I'm 30, how old was I then? 30, no, I was 29. I'd had some time at Millfield. I'd had a little bit of success, you know, managing to coach, you know, kids like James Guy and those guys. You know, it's I was very privileged to go into that environment and coach athletes like that. And unfortunately, that can be quite dangerous. And so I think when I got to Kelly, I probably was a little bit of a know-it-all. And, you know, going into that environment and then having people call you out on it was exactly what I needed. And I got a big, fat slap in the face. You know, some of the feedback I got was, you're quite scary. You look a bit angry all the time, like you shout a lot. And it's not nice hearing that, because actually, me as a person, I'm actually very relaxed, very chilled. I like a good laugh. We have good fun. And that just wasn't coming across at all. And then I think in turn, it does affect your coaching. If you're coming across as those sort of things, you're going to end up with athletes like that as well, because they're going to spend all day trying to swim for you rather than swimming for themselves. So I think, you know, my philosophy has changed quite a lot. And I think, you know, right now it's I am led by the swimmer. So I very much listen and talk. And, you know, our communication at Mount Kelly has been one of the biggest driving forces. That's one of the things that I've been trying to work as much as I can with our coaches as well. Let's communicate. You know, there's no right or wrong way. There's no yes or no's. There's if we can communicate, we can get over any hurdle. Doesn't mean I'm not opinionated. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to give advice. But it's completely up to you whether you decide to take my advice or not. And there's no offense taken if not. Ultimately, it's the swimmer's journey, and I'm there to help with that. So, I'd say I've changed quite a lot over the time.
So, do you review your ethos quite regularly, almost every week or every month or so?
We do quite a lot of reflective practice. And for me, the thing that's worked for me in my coaching is asking my coaches, how do you think that went? What could we do better? What do you think I could do better? We're working on development plans for those guys at the moment, and looking, I'm really trying to listen to them and see what they want from their coaching journey and how that fits into my 5-year plan, making sure that we've got everyone in the right place, everyone can blossom, and getting feedback from them is really important. You know, it's really important to not be precious. It's hard. It's a skill you have to learn. But, you know, I was forced into learning it, because ultimately my coaching journey was probably going to plateau if I didn't listen. And I don't think there's such a thing as negative or positive feedback. I just think there's feedback, and it's choice on how you take that. You know, you not everybody's feedback that you don't have to listen to everything they say, but it's important that you do listen. And then you can make movements with that. So, lots of communication, lots of feedback, and we do that on quite a regular basis. I suppose the other thing to mention there is that all of our coaches have different coaching styles, and it's important that I don't overbear that, and not allow them to find their own feet with that as well. So as much as I have my way, I encourage them to have their way also, as long as we're working under the right umbrella to go to where we want to go as Mount Kelly. Then that's really, really good. And we try and make sure that every single coach in the program coaches every single athlete at some point. One thing we'll go back into the values is, I do not want any precious athletes that, you know, well, Emma's not here, I'm only going to work for her. I can't stand that attitude, because it's not about the coaches. You know, if you want something from your swimming, you need to be able to stand there on that day and listen to absolutely anybody. All right, to get what you need. So we regularly do squad swap. So, you know, I'll put a coach onto a squad that is so far out of their comfort zone, it's unbelievable. That, you know, so the last one we did, I coached sort of the elite guys, but, you know, it's been a long time since I've coached 10-year-olds. So I went straight to the prep squads and took the 10, 11, 12-year-olds for a week. They were petrified. To be fair, it's good. It was really nice exercise to do, and we do that with the other coaches as well.
So keeps it fresh.
I bet that's as beneficial for the swimmers as it is the coaches as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. They do need to be able to be coached by anyone at any time. Mm. Yeah. That's not taken away from, you know, usually coaching is about relationships as well. Like, there is always a coach that you get on better with or someone that you get on better with. But, you know, you need to be able to work at any point for anyone.
Mm. Interesting.
I like it. This is a fairly big question that kind of gets asked more to swimmers than coaches. And I'm sure coaches are going to avoid this if given the chance. But as a coach, what's your personal aim? What would you like to achieve?
For my own career?
For your coaching career, yeah.
Ambition, yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I just want to be happy. And whatever I achieve in my own coaching career, if that makes me happy, then I'm happy, if that makes sense. You know, I'm not that competitive by nature. That sounds bizarre, doesn't it? I'm not driven by being necessarily the best, but I am driven by happiness. And I get just as much reward from seeing a happy smiley face swimming a PB at counties than I do one of my kids going on and winning an international medal. So, you know, I'm not saying it's not nice to have that, as, you know, probably the most talented kid I've ever coached was Federico Badiso. And, you know, the day that he won his Olympic medal, was obviously I wasn't coaching him at that time, but, you know, he was the youngest male in history to win a European medal. So, you know, we were coaching him then, and that was just amazing. Like, it was, I've never had that kind of success on an international scale like that. So I was absolutely buzzing with that. But, you know, the same day it was also nationals going on, and we took down a few teams that we wanted to take down in relays. You know, that made me just as happy. So yeah, I'm very much driven by just being happy.
Yeah, I do think it's important to see joy at every level of swimming. Otherwise, if you're just focused on that elite performance, things are going to get stale, things are going to plateau. It's going to be a tough ride as a coach.
And you're going to spend most of your time pretty miserable.
Mm. Yeah. And you're obviously quite happy at Mount Kelly. Is that where you're going to be staying for the foreseeable future to further develop talent there?
Look, I can't lie to you. I absolutely love it there.
It comes across.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah. It's just such a nice place to be, and it's a nice part of the world. I actually live in Plymouth, so I'm just outside of Tavistock where the school's based. So, I'm really happy here. Who knows what the future will hold? You know, there might be an opportunity that comes up in the future, and then I'll decide then. But right now, we've still got a lot to achieve as a program. You know, lots of positive things to be happening. So I'm very happy here.
So, Emma, last big question. If you were to give any advice to a young coach who's looking to progress their career, what would it be?
Okay, well, I would probably say one of the best things I realized I had to start doing was listening. You know, just listen to absolutely everyone, everything. You know, there's a real difference between hearing to respond and genuinely listening, because if you sit back and listen and watch and learn, your career will go faster, quicker, you know. And you've just got to be a bit of a sponge. I suppose the other thing is don't make it about you. Make it about the people that you're working with, and then your career will lift up, because that relationship will get strong, it will get good, you'll have mutual respect, and it'll only benefit the both of you. So, you know, try not to get so hepped up in you know, I need to do this here, and if that athlete's not responding, then sends you into meltdown. Just relax, make it about them, and you'll enjoy yourself.
Yeah. So you strongly advise coaches to go to different clubs and listen to feedback from other coaches, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. I learnt nothing on any course I've ever been to. The only thing, the most knowledge that I've ever picked up is from just talking and observing and watching other coaches. You know, I've been so lucky in my career. When I retired from swimming, I went straight onto deck with the likes of Ian Armiger, Ben Titley, you know, and that as coaching, going from swimming against people to going to then coaching them in whatever capacity as, you know, a volunteer, that's tough. So then having people like that around you to help you and advise you is amazing. I then went on to Millfield and had incredible coaches around me there as well. People like Doug Campbell and, you know, Helen Golby, who's still at the prep school director of swimming at Millfield now. And she's just the heart for me. She was one of the most inspirational people I've ever come across. Very underrated as well. But, you know, what she taught me was... it was exactly that value, like make it about the swimmer. You know, not many people talk about Helen Golby, but if you look at the amount of Olympians that she's started their careers off, do you know what I mean? She's absolutely grassroots and probably the best in the business. And then, you know, you just go around and ask questions, ask people. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? I'm doing it this way. Well, you know, is that right? Is that wrong? You know, just be a sponge. Be a sponge.
Yeah. I love it. Emma, it's been so much fun speaking to you and learning a little bit more about Mount Kelly. We usually finish things with some quick fire questions. We've got a coach's edition. Does that sound good for you?
Sounds scary.
Only the last one.
What's your favorite stroke to coach?
Ooh, fly.
Who is your swimming idol? And it could be a coach.
My sister.
What's the proudest moment you've ever had in swimming?
When my sister won a Commonwealth bronze medal. I told you I wasn't competitive. It's
not. I'd be fuming if my sister did that and I didn't.
You know what? I was always, always more nervous for my sister's races than I was my own. Always. Oh,
really?
Yeah. Wow. And that suggests to me that's why I've ended up being a coach, because it's just.
Yeah.
What's the hardest set you've ever given out?
Oh God, there's so many. Please. I mean, hard in what respect? This is supposed to be quick fire, isn't it?
No, this one usually gets coaches. Like, yeah. They get excited. We had this with Jamie Main, and he could have done a whole nother podcast on his hard sets.
He listed a page. Yeah.
There is a lot. There is a lot. I mean, I have thrown some incredibly hard sets at some distance swimmers over the years. You just ask Joel Knight, who happens to be one of my coaches now. But I think currently you can't beat the standard 3100's best average set.
Mm.
It's just
my hardest one as well. Yeah,
it's just one of the toughest sets there is out there to do well anyway.
Yeah, it's a killer.
And final question. If you were to go on a road trip, there are three spaces in the car. You can take friends, family, or celebrities. Who would you take with you?
Well, I'd have to take my son, wouldn't I? I wouldn't be a very good mom. this is a tough one. Where are we going to?
Wherever. We've never actually had that asked back to us.
Well, that's important, isn't it? If you're going on a beach holiday to sit and have a few pina coladas, you'd change who you'd take, wouldn't you?
I'll tell you what, you're going from Mount Kelly to Ponsford.
Okay. I'd take my assistant director of swimming, Greg King, to hash out some fine details. And I would take my son for sure, because, like I said, I wouldn't be a very good mom if I just left him behind. And I would probably take Mel Marshall, because she's a good laugh.
Very good. Good car.
Emma, thank you so much for coming on to this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. It's been great speaking to you and learning more about what is a very successful program. And I'm really excited to see what happens in the near future.
That's very kind of you. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, thank you very much. Enjoy maternity leave. How much longer have you got left?
Not long now. I'll be back on like a whirlwind, back on that poolside.
Swimmers, look out.
Yeah, that's it.
Great, sir. Thank you so much, Emma. That just about rounds up the Propulsion Swimming Podcast for 2021. Dan, it's been a huge year, but we're back in the new year. Definitely. We've got more guests lined up. We're not going to take long off.
Yeah, we've got big plans and actually really looking forward to it, but we're going to have a rest for about a week or so and we'll be back in a week or so and we'll be flying again, I'm sure.
Yes. So if you haven't subscribed already, please do so on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, why not leave us a review? We love to hear your feedback as well. Dan, have a good Christmas, and I will see everyone in the new year.
Yes. Thank you very much, everyone. And we'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.